to be found in the Gospel of Matthew, the 13th chapter, also in the 4th chapter of Mark, and likewise in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. We have here the parable of the sower. We find the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes resorted unto him to hear his words and likewise to see the miracles that he performed. Jesus took every opportunity he had to preach the word. He did not only teach in the synagogue and in the temple, but sometimes in a field, sometimes on a mountain, and sometimes, as we see here, he was by the seaside. And where there were so many people around him, he went into a ship and sat in the ship. What a beautiful scene we have here. All the people gathered on the shore, and Jesus sitting on the ship teaching these people. And he taught them in parables. A parable is a similitude of something that is true or that is apparent. It is used very often in Scripture, the word parable. We find that it means sometimes a short saying, something that has a depth of truth in it. We find that the prophets of old, they taught in parables. You read the Old Testament, and you will find many of them prophets using similitudes and teaching the princes and the people various things that were to come. Sometimes they came with threatenings. Sometimes they came with the promises of God, especially of the coming of the Messiah. And they would use parables to instruct and to teach the people. And we find, even if you are familiar with Bunyan's works, he has a book called Pilgrim's Progress. It's allegorical. If you read that book, you have to have another mind to understand what that man means. He's teaching in a parable form when you read this book. Others of his works likewise. And now Christ also, he taught in parables. He used the same form of teaching. And we find him here speaking unto the people and teaching them a plain and an honest truth. He says a sower went out to sow. By this, we understand that he means an agriculturist, a farmer, or a husbandman who has a basket of seed and who is going out to sow the ground that has been already prepared for seeding. It first has to be plowed, it has to be manured or fertilized before we can sow the seed. And we find that Jesus is teaching these people about a sower that went out to sow. And as he began to sow his seed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air devoured it up. In Mark, it says it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. How plain this is to every one of us. Probably every one of us already have went out into the yard and sowed some seed. We probably sowed a lawn or something. And as we sowed the seed, as we went forward, we found too that when the wind carried the seed, it fell upon the wayside, upon a place where it wouldn't grow, where nothing would come of it. And when we looked behind us, we saw the birds already gathering this seed and picking it up. A very familiar similitude Christ is using here. And likewise, we have seen this in our own experience. And then he takes that the seed fell likewise upon stony ground. When this farmer was sowing his seed, he couldn't look under the ground. But under the ground there were many stones. And when the seed fell upon the stones, why, it instantly took root, and it came up very rapidly because it only had a little earth to germinate in. But when the sun came up, then the sun scorched it, and it began to wither, and it soon died away, because it had no root, it had no depthness of earth to germinate in. And then we find that he also speaks about he cast a seed amongst thorns, and when the thorns began to grow, it choked the good seed, and it bore no fruit. Out in these eastern countries, they have what they call a cactus plant, which is filled with thorns. We have various plants around in the neighborhood that likewise have thorns. We have rose bushes, they have thorns. We have barberry bushes, they got thorns. We likewise have even a thorn bush growing sometimes. Out in the woods, you run across them. When I was a boy, I met many of them. And we have then likewise plants that grow thorns. And these thorns, they fall off these bushes into the ground. And now when this seed was cast by this farmer, it fell among these thorns. And now these thorns, they have a tendency to grow much more rapidly than the seed that we sow. Especially out in the eastern countries, this particular plant, the cactus plant, grew very wild and grew very numerous. And where the seed was sown among the thorns began to grow on the seed too. But just like you have even in your own lawn, sometimes you have what we call crabgrass, it chokes the good grass. So the thorns choked the seed and it bore no fruit. And then he says, he cast a seed into good ground. And there it germinated, and there it brought forth fruit, 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. I'm quoting Matthew at the present time. Now this good seed then took root, and it brought forth plentifully. Here we have then this farmer sowing the seed, and showing unto us by a similitude likewise how that the seed, namely the Word of God, is sown too. The Lord Jesus then, he's speaking to these people, and he goes on and says, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. In this we know and understand that there are many people that have ears but do not hear. But that there are some people who are given to hear, and they continually need God to give them ears to hear. Once you have had it, you will likewise continue to pray that God will give you an ear to hear. Although you have heard the word so often, there are times when you are given an ear and a heart to receive and to believe the word. If you have had this, it's something that's from God. It's not from yourself. Because if it was from yourself, you would come up every Sunday and you would have it. But where you don't have it, and you only have it at times, then you may believe that it's God that opens your ears and opens your hearts. And then these disciples, they took Jesus on the side and they asked him to give them an explanation of this parable. And therefore he says, hear then the explanation of the parable of the sower. And we have a sower going forth, sowing the seed by the wayside. And the fowls of the air devour the seed. And the Lord Jesus gives this explanation that when the word is being sown, the devil comes and takes it away out of the hearts where it is being sown in. Now this seed, called the word of the kingdom, the word of God, the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, is an incorruptible seed. And those that sow the seed, namely the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here upon earth, and ministers are fellow laborers with God in sowing this seed. Well, this seed then is sown and much of it falls by the wayside. There are many wayside hearers. There were even amongst when Jesus Christ taught, there was no better preacher that ever visited this earth than the Lord Jesus. And many of the people that listened to him preach were just wayside hearers. By a wayside hearer, we understand those people that come up to hear the truth. They come up how? If I began to explain a little how maybe you came up, maybe you could give me an explanation how you came up. How did you come up today? Did you come up with a prayer in your heart? Did you come up saying, Lord, may I be profited, may I be benefited by what I'm going to hear this afternoon? Or did you come up with a mind filled with worldly thoughts? You met somebody outside the church door. You began to talk conversation with them. It wasn't about the Word of God. It wasn't anything spiritual. It was worldly. You came into this house and your mind is filled with worldly thoughts. You're probably thinking about what you did last week or what you're going to do next week. Your mind is busy with diversions. Now, there are so many that come up in this way, my hearers. I know what I'm talking about because I did it myself. I'm not talking a truth that I do not know. And many, they come into the house of God and they sit down. And while they are sitting, they pay no attention to what is being spoken. In the first place, they have no expectation of a blessing. They have no desire for a blessing. They are not seeking God that he would use the word for their profit. But they are busy doing what? Looking at somebody in the front of them. Maybe somebody's hat, maybe somebody's coat, maybe somebody that they don't like or they're prejudiced against. And they're filled with all kinds of thoughts about this. Some come up. They are prejudiced against the plain truths of the Word of God. They can't stand it. They can't bear with it. Some are prejudiced against the preacher, against the teacher. Some come in with a mind just inwardly to argue, to object, to oppose the truths that are being taught. There are so many, my hearers, that are what we call wayside hearers. No matter what congregation you go into, wherever the word is being sown in its purity, you will find evil spirits gathered there. And the devil is busy with everybody's mind to divert their mind from the gospel that is being taught. There isn't anyone that hates the gospel more than the devil. And there isn't a better ground for the devil to work in than in the minds of the heedless hearers, the wayside hearers. That's where he can operate very good. If he only can divert your minds and keep your minds busy with things that you like. Sometimes he excites the passions. Sometimes he excites things that you like to have and that you don't have. And he has your mind busy with that. Sometimes you've got plans, maybe you're going to have a new car. You're sitting under the truth. You ain't listening to the truth. You've got your mind on your automobile. You've got your mind on your house if you're going to build a new house. How the devil feeds the minds of people to keep them from listening to the truth. This is what we would call wayside hearers. The devil is right there to snatch it away. Why is he there to do that? Well, he don't want you to believe. Because he knows that if you believe, he has lost you as his servant. The devil is the greatest enemy of the gospel and of mankind. He takes this seed that is being sown and he plucks it away. He devours it in this way so that it bears no fruit. The next comparison that Jesus gives is those where the seed falls upon stony ground. And immediately it enters into the ground and it bears fruit. But it's only for a little while, because it fell upon stones. It has no moisture, it has no depth of earth to enter into, and when the sun comes up, immediately the root is looking for moisture and it can't find it, and then it is scorched and it begins to wither. So it is with those amongst whom this precious seed of the gospel is sown. Some may hear the word with joy, and none may believe it. But they receive it, and they seem to bear fruit. They have all the appearances of something going on in them, but it's only for a while. For when persecution or affliction arises concerning the word, they are offended, and they turn away. Now, my hearers, I hope you will pay close attention to what I'm saying, because this comparison comes so close to the reality that some poor souls may say, well, that's just what I am. Now, this word sank down into the mind, listen, to the mind of this person. He received it in his mind and in his affections with joy. It never went into his heart, remember that. And he believed this word. He received it, and he seemed to be thriving under it. And he made a profession of religion, he became a member of the church, and he became so fluent, he became an example to many of the people that watched this person. Yea, he even sometimes far exceeds a child of God. He does this to receive a name for himself. He does this that the other people will honor him. He does this sometimes for worldly gain, to get ahead in the world. He may be a poor person, he don't have much of an outlook in life, but when he comes into a congregation and he makes a profession of religion, and there are others that will immediately try to assist such a poor person. And now this person, he flourishes for a little while. For when affliction or persecution arises for the word, anon he withereth away. When it comes to the point when it is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and die with him, or deny him, then such a person usually denies him, because they have no true love, they have no true faith, they have no true hope in their hearts towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these people are what we would call temporary believers. Such a person sits under the truth, and they receive the word with joy. They love to hear, listen, that God is so gracious, is so merciful, and is so kind, that regardless of how young or how old a sinner may be, he's willing to save them. And such a person receives that saying and believes it. And such a person says, well, then surely he'll receive me. If they believe in the covenant of grace, they believe in the council of peace, they believe that God has an elect people and that they are one of them. But, my hearers, it's all without a principle of life in the soul. These people, they will in time, it's hard to discern them in a time of prosperity because they remain what they are. But when persecution arises for the word's sake, then it is revealed what sort of characters they are and what sort of believers they are. And now, my hearers, There are many of God's dear children believe that they are only temporary believers. You know why? Because when they first were given to believe and to receive the word, they received it with joy. Oh, they had such a delight in the word of God. They read it, they came to the house of God, they would want to have church every Sunday if possible, and they enjoyed so much in prayer, in reading the word themselves, in reading the works of authors that wrote about the word. And then, what happens? Just like with this temporary believer, the sun came up and scorched it, and it withered away. And so it goes with the child of God. But these wonderful feelings, these wonderful outgoings of faith and hope and love, and the hearing ear and the open heart, seems to be gone. They seem to be withering away. Ask them, why, I'm just a barren wilderness. I can't see any fruit in anything that I'm doing. I can't believe that the work of grace is in me. Would I be a child of God and act the way I do and sin the way I do? That's the way they talk inside. And they think and believe that they are but temporary believers. And they fear they are that. Is that your fear? That's a good point in your favor. A stony ground hearer never fears. His heart is like a rock. He's never troubled whether he's a stony ground hearer or not, or a temporary believer. He's all set. He has no qualms in this respect. And if you are troubled, if you are disturbed within, and you fear that that is all that you have, then let me say to your comfort, you have something that far exceeds what the stony ground hearer has. I know when you read the Bible, you read about Saul, he was amongst the prophets. You read about Balaam, he prophesied wonderful things about the Christ. And then when we come to the New Testament, when we begin to read Hebrews 6, or how far it can go with a person, that they can taste and enjoy the word of God, and that the Spirit of God comes and makes his dwelling place in them, and that after a while, it all goes away. And that such characters can never, never be brought to true repentance again. And then you classify yourself as one of them. Did you ever do that? I did. Oh yes, I know what I'm talking about. I read them things too. You know, if you have a ministry, you go to the minister with those things. You question them. You want an explanation on it. And where you're not satisfied with the minister's explanation, it's a blessing if you're not, that you go to God. And that God makes it clear, makes it plain in his simple way that you are one of his dear children, that you are not one that you are thinking you are. And now we find that this seed likewise fell amongst the thorns. Now this the Lord Jesus compares with the seed being sown in the midst of the congregation, and the people that received this seed, they likewise begin to show signs of life. But the time comes when what they thought was the work of God reveals that it was not. For the love of the world and the love of riches and the deceitfulness thereof get a hold of the person and chokes the word. These are the thorns then that the Lord Jesus explains. You know, many a serious and an earnest person who really means well, who really thinks they are being wrought upon, they seek to become wealthy. And for the simple reason that they may be enabled to help others, they think, if God gives me the ability and the wisdom to get ahead in the world and to make money, then maybe when I get some of that, I can help some other poor people. And they set off with this idea in their mind that they can help a lot of other poor creatures by getting rich. but they are being deceived. You know, riches are very deceitful. A person that's seeking to become rich, he has to come into such compliances and such deceitful things that soon the earnestness, the seriousness that he had about religion is shoved to one side. Now he's only earnest to get money, to get ahead in the world. Religion is on one side, but this is the uppermost. And therefore, the seed that fell amongst the thorns, this getting rich, being wealthy, seeking honor and glory, chokes the word, and it don't bear any fruit. Oh, there are, I believe, millions of people that are on this ground and will deceive themselves for a great eternity. And now we have the Lord Jesus speaking about where the seed fell into good ground. And it bore 160 and 30-fold fruit. Now this good ground, my hearers, is the work of grace in the sinner's heart. For this, where the seed fell into good ground, I wish to bring you a point in what I've been trying to illustrate to you. When you've been listening to me, there were four characters that the Lord Jesus is speaking about. We have first the wayside hearer. We have secondly the stony ground hearer. We have thirdly those that fell amongst thorns. And now we have this fourth one in the good ground. In the first place, it fell by the wayside. In the second place, it fell upon stony ground. In the third place, it fell amongst the thorns. You get what I mean? But in the fourth place, it fell into the ground. There must then be a place made for the seed to fall into the ground, just as a farmer does when he goes out into his field. He takes the plow and he uproots the ground. He prepares the ground. There are some farmers in my midst, maybe, that know more about it than I do. But they prepare their ground so that it will bring forth fruit. If you don't prepare the ground, if you don't put any fertilizer in the ground and prepare it in this way, it won't bring any fruit forth. And so, with all what we may plan and what we may do with the ground, if we don't prepare it, there's no fruit. God has to prepare the hearts of each and every sinner shall the word enter in. His Spirit must come down and open that heart. It is by the word and by the law that the heart of a sinner is plowed up. It's uprooted. Has your heart ever been uprooted, my hearers? Has God ever plowed your heart open? It is by the word of God, this seed, which is an incorruptible seed, which never shall perish, but that seed enters into the heart, and it is by the word of God that we begin to see things that we never saw before. We also have to do with that God in heaven above, against whom we have sinned. The word of God discovers unto us such a revelation of ourselves that we never had before. It begins to teach us what sinners we are, how we have sinned against God, and that we have to do with this God. Now this word that germinates inside of a person's soul begins also to open up the way of salvation as it is in Christ Jesus. And the seed takes root, it enters into the heart, and it begins to bear the fruit of repentance. The person is so sorry because he sinned against God. Wonder if there are any such like characters in my midst. You know, it's pretty hard to find people that are sorry for something that they did. Even in the natural sense, if you did something wrong, and you sinned against somebody else, it takes something to go to that person and say, well, I'm very sorry that I did something like that. But what a vast difference it is when God makes us sorry, when he gives us repentance unto life. A repentance never to be repented of. And if you had some of this repentance in your heart, you wish you had some of it every day. Oh, to have a broken heart before God because you're such a great sinner. And with this repentance, my hearers, the Lord gives faith. He gives faith to come to him. This faith comes to God and believes that there is a God and believes that this God is able to save, mighty to save. That this word germinates within the soul and begins to reveal the way of salvation as it is in Christ Jesus. Such a person finds in him a hunger and a thirst after Jesus and his blessed righteousness. Have you such, my hearers? Has the word ever germinated in your heart to this extent? Oh, this good seed, when it is planted deep into the soul, my hearers, then it likewise begins to bear fruit. The fruit of love, the fruit of hope, or the fruit of godliness, of sanctification. It is to be seen in the life, in the conversation of such a person that something's going on inside. And this, what God has begun, is the good work that shall never, never be destroyed. He will take care of it and he will finish it to the day of Jesus Christ. That's his own promise. But the question with you is that good work begun in me? Has the seed ever taken root in my soul? Has this seed ever led me out of myself to seek salvation in the blood, in the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Well, that is what the Word does. It gives such discoveries of ourselves that it's not like the stony ground here. He's a person that wants to be somebody. He wants to be a big man. He wants to have a good name. But now where this seed has taken root, my hearers, it brings a person down. It makes him so humble. It makes him so small. It makes him like a little child. Has the Word of God ever done that to you? And now when that takes place, my hearers, they have such a desire for the Word. Oh, they have such a sincere desire for the sincere milk of the Word of God. Oh, I know in a time of my life, and maybe you do, some of yous, you wish there was church every day. And where it wasn't church every day, why, you would take the Bible and go and hide in some place where nobody could see and be reading the Bible. Or you take some good book and do that. Oh, you had such a longing and such a desire for the Word of God and for the explanation of it. Oh, that was everything to you. You didn't care anymore about the world and the things of time and sense. If only you knew that God had begun this work in you, and this is why you were searching and examining and reading. And oh, when you came up to the house of God, it was sometimes like a feast to you. Oh, you never came like that before. You never had an ear to hear it or a heart to receive it. God opened your ears and opened your heart. Everything seemed to be new, and what you heard was true. Oh, it sank in. You know something of that, my hearers? And now this seed begins to bear fruit. Some persons are led more deeply by the Word of God and by the law. But they are led more into the terrors of the law, and they are brought much quicker to the assurance of their salvation. There were some poor souls, they seek and seek and long and wait. And sometimes their hope is almost expiring. They can't believe that God will ever give them what they're seeking after. And still are encouraged again and again by the Word. Now, this is the seed, the incorruptible seed that has been planted in your soul. And if God has given you a promise, if he's spoken to you personally, individually, you've hung on that promise when he gave it, or it was his precious Word. And when he has promised that he will have mercy upon you, promised that he loved you with an everlasting love, promised you that when you come to die, you would be taken up into glory to be forever with the Lord. Oh, when those seasons were in exercise in your soul and the Word had such an effect upon you, why, you wished you had the wings of an angel and you would have flown away to be with him. Oh, what a blessing is this word when it is in the hands of the Spirit and when it becomes fruitful in our hearts. Oh, my hearers, come under the word. Let me entreat you not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, for it is by the word of God that we are born again unto an eternal life, never to perish anymore. Could there be anything better given than to you? And it's all for nothing, it's free. It is God who gives this and who begins this good work by his grace and upholds it by his grace. For there remains nothing for the creature to do, but God is the author of it and the finisher of it. Oh, may you seek. When you come up to the house of God, seek that he may open your ears and open your heart. He did this to a Lydia who came under the word as Paul was preaching it. And what a change took place in that woman's life. And what a change will take place in your life, my hearers, if he opens your heart and opens your ears. What a different woman, what a different man you will be from what you are, outwardly and inwardly. You will become a new creature in Christ Jesus. You will receive new eyes, new ears. You will receive a new tongue, and you will receive a new heart. And you most of all receive a new life, a life that will never die. Oh, blessed are they that are given to hear and to receive and to believe, for they, and they only, are this good seed sown in good soil where it will remain until the day of Jesus Christ. The Lord bless the explanation of this parable to your immortal souls. That's all for today.